EY.com.
Couple of days for people in Arizona and in Arkansas and a few other states as well who were slammed with some nasty weather, tornadoes and the like that ripped up blocks and blocks and blocks, and yet just around the corner, neighbors' houses were almost virtually untouched. Only two people so far, though, lost their lives. That's the good news. You can replace houses, you can pick up the ruins, but you can't get back that loss of life. Once again, Mother Nature starting off America tonight. Hey, everybody. How are you in the nooks and crannies across this great nation? The reality show that is the Republican quest for the presidency continues, this time rolling through Florida. NBC holding yet another debate. In the debate, it was mostly mudslinging between Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney, a lot of it having to do with money, the money that Newt's company got when it was involved with Freddie to the tune of, in 2006, $25,000 a month, to the tax returns from Mitt Romney finally coming out. 2010, he paid $3 million in taxes and earned over $21 million. His tax percent, his rate, 15. I think for the next couple of days, people will be gnawing on that. This race is about jobs, the economy, and money, or the lack of money. And maybe the discord between the people, I think definitely, the discord between the people in Washington who make the laws and the people who have to live by the laws. Speaking of laws, though, I would say thumbs up to the Supremes as they smack down the cops on GPS trackers, saying you've got to have a warrant. You just cannot put a GPS track on somebody who is a suspect. You have to have the enough evidence to get that warrant to be able to go ahead and do that. The Supreme Court ruling Monday specifically that it violates the Constitution when you do that, when you attach it to a car without a valid search warrant. This vote was unanimous in one of the first major cases that actually tests privacy rights in our very digital era that we are living in. And this may be a sign of things to come down the pike, because certainly there are other challenges waiting in the wings. The ultimate vote was split over the reasons, 5-4, which would suggest that differences certainly remain on how to apply unreasonable searches. This is an argument that goes back for decades. But 9-0, that police violated the Constitution when they attached that tracker to the car of Antoine Jones. That's where the case stems from. That was the case before them. So bravo, because I don't think that should be allowed. We keep going back to our Fourth Amendment protections and all that sort of stuff, and this is something to be concerned about. So if this is, in fact, what we can look forward to in the future, then that, my friends, is a good thing. That means that rights will be protected. So I like that. Joe Paterno, over the weekend, in case you haven't heard the news, passed away at the age of 85, and a lot of people wondering how Penn State would handle it because of firing him in November and dealing with the assistant coach, Jerry Sandusky, and the trial that's set to come forward on 50 counts of child abuse, molestation, all that kind of stuff. And how does this university recognize an icon? Joe Paterno worked for Penn State for 61 years, brought them two national titles, and had an 85% graduation rate, which he was very, very proud of, maybe more than anything else. He admitted just weeks ago that he wished he had done more in the case of Sandusky, but he felt like he did what he was at least supposed to do by telling his superiors in the end, it wasn't enough. And maybe there is something to he died of a broken heart. Although he had had some problems and he was being treated for problems, including cancer, but maybe this was all too much and took its toll on Joe Paterno. A lot of people expressing their love for the Penn State coach despite everything that's happened. Todd Blackledge, who played for him, had plenty to say.
As much as anything else, Joe Paterno died of a broken heart, and I think there were a lot of people that had a part to play in that, and whether it be the Board of Trustees and the way they handled his situation, even the media and the way they covered everything over the last several months. I just think that that was as much a part of him dying as anything else, and that hurts my heart. He became very emotional. It was very difficult for him to talk, and he just wanted me to hear it from them, from the family. He said, you know how much you meant to Joe his whole life, and just wanted me to hear it from them. And so I really appreciated him calling me like that. We lost a great man. I feel like society lost a great man. College football lost a great man. Penn State lost a great man. And for me personally, I lost a great man who had a tremendous impact on my life all the way through. Before I went there, being recruited, when I played for him, and in the years after leaving Penn State. I remember him sitting in my living room when I was a senior in high school and recruiting me and saying to me, looking me directly in the eyes and saying to me, I believe you are the guy that can lead us to a national championship. And it was 4 years after that it actually came to fruition. My recollections of Joe in the last couple months were the same as they've always been. He always thought of others first, whether it would be his staff, his players, his former players, his family, and he really didn't think of himself first.
All right, Joe Paterno dead at the age of 85, the university holding a viewing on Tuesday and Wednesday in a private service, limiting the amount of people that will be able to go through. 2 tickets per person is what they're saying, and fending off how many and how much time they'll be able to do it. I imagine there'll be a lot of people that will pour through there, as a lot of people feel like Blackledge did, that he was vilified and really didn't get much of a chance to tell his side. He did talk to the Washington Post and talked about the fact that he wished he had done more. That was certainly widely reported. And in the end, how does this coach go down in history as an icon or somebody who protected an assistant coach who was a predator? Time will tell. Coming up on America Tonight, we're going to go through polls, a couple of really interesting polls that I think you'll want to hear. One about Gingrich and how he's faring. Has he jumped ahead of Mitt Romney? The other, although this is becoming old hat, isn't it? How do we feel about the economy? Gallup is taking our pulse, and plenty of people were willing to throw in their 2 cents on that one. And how do we feel about the president's Keystone decision? All that and more when you join us in just a few. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
In our future shows here on America Tonight, no Nail the Score this week. Boy, that's going to feel weird, isn't it? So many people call. It's such so popular in our third hour on Friday, and we have a great prize, a couple of great prizes to give away, including a GPS system from Magellan, a wireless system. So all that will happen before the Super Bowl, the Friday before the Super Bowl. We'll be on the air and doing that. Maybe someone will nail the score on our final game of the season. Nobody came close this time around. We even gave you an extra game, and the scores were reversed, and I shouldn't say nobody came close, a little bit close, but nobody nailed the score. So it was tough. The finishes on both were so exciting, but it was pretty tough to do it this time around. All right, speaking of predictions, I happened to see this a couple of days ago. The former queen of daytime TV, who just goes by one name, Oprah, was asked about Barack Obama being president and would he get another 4 years in the White House. And she was talking in India. She was speaking at a festival in India. And she praised Obama and how he handled his presidency and said the next 4 years would be even more successful with people able to get back to work. Remember, she backed Obama during the 2008 presidential campaign in the first ever political endorsement that she gave, and she got some blowback for that. This time and at this point, I don't think it matters. Now Oprah's not doing the daytime thing, and she's got her own network. But it's interesting that she comes out and says that. And the reason I say it is because people are looking for information and clues as to what the Democrats think. You have David Axelrod and you have Robert Gibbs, who were brilliant, let's face it, if we're being honest, in getting Obama elected the first time around. Can they do it part two? Will that happen for this president? It's tough to beat an incumbent, and especially one that is very good at campaigning. I think the one big blunder with the Republicans, talking about odds and ends since they had their debate in Florida, is the constant mudslinging. It's not that they have to have tea and play nice, necessarily, but all of this stuff will go into a pot and will be used against the Republicans in the race to unseat Obama as they get closer to the convention in Tampa in August. This is gonna hurt. Gingrich, I said I was gonna talk about some polls. Gingrich comes out on top in the latest Rasmussen poll, which is interesting. He, because of where he was just a couple of weeks ago, now he's either come out on top or he's tied him. In the Florida, just specifically Florida, Rasmussen has Gingrich leading Romney 41-32. And remember, less than 2 weeks ago, Mitt Romney had a 22-point lead in the Sunshine State, but who cares? That was yesterday's news. Newt Gingrich is today's news. And he's made a massive turn. And he predicted this. He said, I'm hanging in. I'm going to be the one that's coming around the turn at the end, headed for the finish line. So he's got 41%, Romney 32, Rick Santorum 11, and Congressman Ron Paul 8%. Paul has not spent a lot of time in Florida realizing that this is not his cup of tea. I mean, this wasn't his to completely go high in the numbers. And he spent some time, but not a lot of time. You wouldn't be surprised in what Gallup is telling us, that 83% of the people polled are dissatisfied with the economy. Ooh, gee, you think? So, at this point, it's an increase of 23% since January of 2008. At the same time, 69% are unhappy with the size and power of the federal government. 68% are dissatisfied with the moral and the ethical climate. And this is right ahead of President Obama giving his State of the Union address, and everything will kick into high gear for the 2012 campaign. After the State of the Union, there'll be a real push here. There are a couple of other things that Gallup found. I just think it's fascinating when they take the pulse. 50% were satisfied with the nation's laws or policies on guns. That's up a little bit. 46 satisfied with the opportunity to get ahead by working hard. That's down 15. 50% were satisfied with the policies to reduce or control crime. Up 2%. And 30%, I'm not going to bore you with all these numbers, 30% were satisfied with the size and the influence of major corporations. Down 5%. So how about that? The big thing is 83% dissatisfied with the economy now. I mean, of course, it goes back to the same thing. What's in your wallet? And ultimately, the thing that people are going to pay attention to as it gets closer to the election is how are they doing? How are they doing financially compared to a couple of years ago? How much more taxes are they paying? All that kind of stuff. You know that I'm in favor of the Keystone Pipeline after talking to a couple of people on the safety side as to what does it mean for the environment. So I didn't just blanket say, oh, yeah, sure, put the pipeline down. Although I say this all the time on America Tonight, look, folks, we got to look at ourselves in the mirror. And when you look in the mirror, are we oil consumers? And the answer is yes, we are. We're not riding horses. We're not carpooling. We're not doing the things that you need to do to develop those green areas where it'll be affordable. So Keystone XL Oil Sands Pipeline, I think, was a brilliant idea and would put people back to work. And the fact that we would get the oil from Canada, where we're getting 25% of our oil anyway, instead of it going to the Chinese or someone else, why not do that? So a new poll comes out that Republicans might have found the best issue that they can get the president on, and that's the decision to prevent construction of that pipeline I just mentioned. 52% of likely voters, according to The Hill, oppose Obama's decision. 34% approve. 14 aren't sure. Republicans and unions have argued that the pipeline, and notice I say unions, Democrats, have argued that the pipeline would create those jobs that I mentioned. A total of 75% of Republicans oppose the president's policy, 69% of conservatives. That's not a surprise one bit. But just boiling down the issue with the environmental studies and everything else, I mean, come on, let's be serious. The regulations now are pretty tight. Not pretty, very tight. So this thing was not going to be a reality unless it met all the standards anyway. And the jobs that it would have created, it would have been enormous, all the way down through to the state of Texas. So a lot of different states would have benefited from the pipeline. Now it gets shoved aside a little bit longer. What does that do to the Canadians? Do they get frustrated? Do they hang in there? I think they'll hang in there, but boy, why even risk that? Why even put ourselves in the middle of that? But that's where it stands. So I don't think it's surprising either, after everything that people have heard, that they're not happy with that decision. I would have to agree, because with the jobs, with the crude that we need, we refine it. What a perfect way to go. Everybody makes money along the way, and there are lots of safeguards that you could put in place to protect the environment from the pipeline, but you can't protect the pipeline from a takeover of somebody else wanting more of that oil. And the Chinese are very aggressive when it comes to that. And if they offer up enough money, what will our neighbors in the north do? What are they to do? Are they really going to sit on their hands and wait till we decide to play patsy cake with them? No. So we might have just blown it. They might have just blown it. Might be going in a different direction. Stay with us as we continue to kick the can down the road here on ATN.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When's the last time you had a chance to buy a ticket to paradise? Listen up for a truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Imagine the ultimate bug-out safe home, surrounded by incredible lush, fertile land, filled with fruit trees, coffee farm, fresh air, wildlife, and gorgeous views of the Pacific Coast. And you could win it for only $200. Yes, a Costa Rican family of four is raffling off their $400,000 home for only $200 per ticket. The winner scores a 2,000-square-foot, three-bedroom, two-bath house, two-car garage with both bodega, guest house, nearly 3 acres of fertile coffee farmland, and a 1978 diesel Toyota Land Cruiser. All for only $200 per raffle ticket. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Hurry, raffle ends April 30th, 2012. For complete details, visit CostaRicaRaffle.com. That's CostaRicaRaffle.com. Get your ticket to paradise today at CostaRicaRaffle.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. This was a big story. You know how I feel about NASA. You know how I feel about the space program and the shuttles and whatnot, and we've talked to astronauts galore. The Columbia, remember, back in 2003, was supposedly lost during re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere, and then pieces were found around a couple of different areas, including in the state of Texas, where I had a home base. So the Columbia accident became really the second space shuttle voyage, well, of course it was, to end in tragedy. And the first shuttle lost while trying to land. There were all kinds of questions about this. Now, one of the NASA project supervisors, Dwayne Seaman, says that there's some things that people didn't know about this, including the fact that it did not disintegrate over the Lone Star State, as was reported. Dwayne, thanks so much for coming on the show with us. You've got a book out, and you've got in the book, it's called Essays in Idleness. First of all, I guess the first question is, how long were you a project supervisor for NASA?
From 1965 until 1969, once we got Armstrong and Aldrin on the moon, I resigned and started my own company. That was in 1969. And 28 years later, in 1998, I retired as CEO and president of AIM Financial Systems out of Houston.
Yeah. So you know the intricacies of what goes on in NASA, and you saw what happened with the Columbia. And as you're saying that, hey, listen, everybody thought it disintegrated. What are you saying happened?
Well, the media and NASA, also NASA officials, say there first came out and said there was an explosion over Wenatchee, Texas. Mm. That's where all the debris was found. But I immediately, now I was not working for NASA at that time, mm-hmm. but I took exception to what they were saying, NASA and the media, because when they reenter, they're going anywhere from 12,000 to 15,000 miles an hour. And had had they exploded over Texas, or if the problem had occurred over Texas, the debris would have ended up in Georgia or someplace, because at 15,000 miles an hour, the debris would have been carried much, much farther east.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Oh, absolutely, I follow you. So I would assume there'd have to be other people that have questions on that, but as you mentioned, when someone's covering something as it unfolds, you're taking NASA and the people that are trotted out in front of the cameras at their word, unless you're trying to figure out what might be going on behind the scenes. And would there be a reason that they would put that out there just to make it more palatable, I guess? And of course it wasn't, because it was a horrific tragedy.
Well, yes, there was. I think there was a reason. At that time, NASA was asking for $15 billion. And they wanted to seem squeaky clean. The videos of the spacecraft reentering shows it looks more like a disintegration than an explosion. But the disintegration would have had to happen over the Pacific Ocean or California or somewhere for the inertia at 15,000 miles an hour, and that's a reentry speed, to have ended up in Texas. You follow me?
Yeah, absolutely. So they didn't want people to know that it happened then, right?
Well, they really didn't know what the problem was or what caused it. But if you look at the video, there's no flames or anything. It just seems to fall apart. And my personal opinion is that it was pilot error. Well, first of all, there's an awful lot of junk, space junk, up there. And there is an autopilot, and it was the worst autopilot correction ever. It was within limits, but it was the worst autopilot correction ever. And I think when the autopilot kicked in, it was so fierce that it just broke the spacecraft apart, because there's no sign of any flames or anything. And it could have happened two or three different ways. It could have been the autopilot trying to avoid space junk, or it could have been the pilot, husband was his name. He was a rookie, first time he'd ever been in that situation. He could have hit the stick with his knee, because the autopilot's supposed to take over, and he really doesn't need to do much until he gets into the atmosphere, and then he starts using his retro rockets to slow the speed of the spacecraft down so they can land. They have to slow it down about from 15,000 miles an hour to 250 miles an hour.
Mm.
And he could have hit the stick with his knee or something. And they don't, you know, they just don't sit there for 16 days, rather. They get up and around, they do things. There's the spacecraft is equipped with a lot of different, you know, they've got a den and a bathroom and a bedroom and different things that they can get in. If he got up out of his seat and hit the stick with his knee, it could have caused that violent reaction. But I prefer to think it was probably the autopilot trying to avoid space junk.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of space junk up there.
Oh, yeah. So then the question is, could the crew have even been saved? Would that have been a possibility?
Under the circumstances, no. I think they learned something for that. Columbia did not have any EVA. That's called extravehicular activity, where they can go outside and look at problems. And so they couldn't even go out and see what their problem was, because they knew they had a little problem 7 minutes before the accident actually happened. Had they had some EVA equipment, they could have gone outside and inspected the spacecraft. At first, they tried to say it was a foam that dislodged during launch. Well, they were up there for 16 days, and I don't think, you know, and they had no problems at all until they began to reenter. So I don't think it was the foam that came loose at all. And another thing, the Apollo, when it reentered, the heat shield faced Earth, you know, to ward off the heat of reentry.
Sure.
And it gets up to 100,000 degrees, 10 times hotter than the sun. And the heat shield itself protects the crew, and it gets up to 5,000 degrees above zero, above 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And anyway, the shuttle, when it starts to re-enter, the heat shield is facing away from Earth, not towards Earth like the Apollo. And the pilot has to flip it, has to flip the spacecraft so that the heat shield is facing the Earth. You follow me?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it could have been when he flipped it that he did it too fast or caused a jerk at that time. Something happened 7 minutes before it actually fell apart. And as I said, if you look at the video, the spacecraft, there was no flames or anything. It was just appeared to be falling apart. And it would have had to have been over the Pacific Ocean or California at least.
Yeah.
For the inertia to bring it all the way to Texas.
Texas. Yeah. Wow.
And the initial, the media, and even a year later, I was pretty well vindicated. A NASA official named Reddy, R-E-A-D-Y, more or less said that it couldn't have been the foam, that it had to be something else, and sort of vindicated my opinion from day one, and that was a year later.
Yeah, and here we are these many years later. And we see last year, of course, the program, the shuttle program, was put into mothballs, and that was the end of it. But you say, despite the money and saying, okay, it did its usefulness, did its job, that there was really another reason the shuttle was shut down. Why is that?
Well, the only purpose the shuttle was serving was to take supplies to the space station. And they still have a vehicle that does that. They're working on a very large one, so they can take a lot more stuff up there at one time. But that was the main purpose of the shuttle. Once, you know, they're... Now, they do have some long-term plans for interplanetary exploration, but
yeah.
That's a long way off.
Yeah, yeah, no
they
kidding.
They still plan to do it, and there's a thing going on in Marshall, Alabama, where they're developing a very, very powerful rocket that would take them out into outer space. You know, millions of miles out.
Sure.
And,
oh, yeah.
That's still in the mill. And so there's still some nice things downstream. But I might add in my book, and my book is called Essays in Idleness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's available at Barnes & Noble. And also it's available at Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a website. The website is called My Essays in Idleness. Not Essays in Idleness, My Essays in Idleness. The book can be ordered there. Now, if anybody would like a signed copy, and I'm getting some very, very good reviews on my book. I talk about, there's one chapter on the Apollo and another chapter on the space shuttle thing, and there's also, there's a lot of different genres. I have one pretty extended chapter about growing up during the Great Depression. This also has some of my memories and reflections about religion. And one thing that I might point out is I talk about expectation in the book. If you don't expect anything, you'll never be disappointed. The only way you can ever be disappointed is if you expect something and it doesn't manifest itself.
Boy, isn't that true. Oh, perfect place to end this. Dwayne Seaman, check out his book. It's easy to get. He told you how to do it. Dwayne, we'd love to have you back on. We'll talk more about the Apollo and some other things. You were great.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panels to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstampad.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog, packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to mysticstampad.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or mysticstampad.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Business here on America Tonight. Got a couple of cool people we're going to introduce you to, including Jim Hammond, who is in the wings. You know how I love pizza. Well, he owns Colvine's restaurants. He's got a couple of them in Texas, actually three of them, Plano, Austin, and Sugar Land, Texas. And as you can imagine, my mouth is already watering. Jim, thanks for popping on ATN.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
So, how'd you get in this pizza business thing? Did you think this is, people like pizza and pasta, don't they?
Pizza's its own food group.
It is.
That's how I got involved in it. Pizza's one of my favorite foods.
Have you seen, now, to me, some restaurants are feeling the recession, others aren't, and they're weathering it. Have you weathered the recession? Because now you're talking about a couple of very distinct areas. Are you weathering the recession pretty well?
Well, it seems like we are. I think that it looks like Texas is weathering it pretty good. It seems like it may be a little bit better than some of the other parts of the country, but we still have our challenges, but, it looks like we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, you and I talked off the air earlier in the day, and we had a great conversation about this. I think what makes a restaurant stick in people's minds, first of all, I think it's all about word of mouth. You can have all kinds of advertising, and I'm not saying that doesn't help, but I think word of mouth is bigger than anything. It's like books. Books and restaurants. When people start to talk about how they love a restaurant, other people follow suit and say, oh, my buddy told me about that place. And a lot of it has to do with service. When you get terrible service, boy, you don't want to go back again sometimes, even if you like the food. And don't you think so?
I do. I think service is equally as important as the food is, because most people, especially at night, go out for a meal and entertainment and visit with their friends, and they're there for the experience. And if poor service can absolutely ruin that experience.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, now this is an important question. What do you like on your pizza?
Well, we have a couple of unusual pizzas. We have one that's called bolognese, which is, you know, a meat sauce, and it's very, very different. And actually, it was one of the things that made me get really interested in cold vines. It's a great pizza. Then we also have a white cheese pizza. So we call it a white cheese special. It has ricotta cheese and tomatoes and a little garlic on it. And it's very, very different. And it's really, really good.
Do you find that the crowd it depends on the time of day, but who's your biggest connoisseurs? Are they working people? Is it families? Is it younger crowd, older crowd, or just a mixture?
Well, in our restaurant, it's a pretty good mixture. Earlier in the evening, we have a lot of families come in with their children, and then as the evening goes on, you know, it becomes a little bit older, and we end up with people in their 20s and 30s and an older crowd of in 40s and 50s. And older than that. But our crowd is pretty mixed.
Pretty mixed. And so what do you think the keys are to weathering a tough economy? Good service, we've already discussed. Good food, good PR, I guess.
Well, yeah, good PR. And I think having good price points. We have our big pizza is an 18-inch pizza, and three or four people can share that, and it's, have a salad and an appetizer, and you can get out for, you know, $10, $12 a head, and for the food. Now, that depends on what you drink on the wine or whether you have iced tea or whatever, but the food itself, we've got great price points. We're pretty high-end decor-wise, but we're great price points.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that has to do with it, too, because if people think they're getting good value and they can go have a nice time, all that other stuff that we just mentioned, I think anybody listening to us across America would agree, no matter where they hail from, for sure. Jim Hammond from Cold Vines. Check it out in Plano, Austin, and Sugar Land, Texas. Some of my favorites. I like that talking about that ricotta cheese and the white pizza. That's my favorite. Hey, Jim, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you, Kate. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, this is going to be a fun segment. Just think of the song. Dun, 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 dun. Does anyone even use that theme when they're going up the aisle? I know I certainly didn't, but I guess there are some people that do use it. Naomi Holm, we've talked to her before. She's fabulous, and she's part of the Dallas Bridal Show. I mean, she is. She is the woman behind the Dallas Bridal Show. That's coming up, and it's interesting because across the country, not just in Dallas, not just in the rest of Texas, all of you can relate to this. I think as much as people are talking about divorce, we have to say, if this is your business is booming in the bridal industry. So I'm going to dismiss some of the talk about all these divorces. Naomi, is that true? I've heard from other people that really business is booming.
You know, people still get married no matter what the economy. In fact, sometimes when it's a tough economy, you may have more people getting married. So it is still a very, very big business.
Yeah, and I think, too, when you go into it, you're hoping this is it. So we're gonna put on the kind of party we want to put on. And, you know, if we have to figure out ways to do it where we cut a little here and then add more here, we're going to do it. Is that usually what happens? I mean, the smart people, the smart brides sit down with people like you, and they kind of lay this thing out, don't they?
They do. And then they will put some money toward maybe the gown more so than say a harpist, you know, one of the luxury items. They may add more fun to the reception and maybe a little bit more entertainment to make it fun and maybe cut back on something else that may have been a luxury item that they wanted, but they just, it wasn't as important as that reception and having such a fun, exciting time that people remembered them and remembered their wedding. So there are some that will pick and choose what they're going to spend more money on, and then some just have an unlimited budget and go all out.
What's more popular, sit-down dinners, formal sit-down dinners, or buffet style?
I think you're going to see a mixture, and it could depend on the bride, her budget, the number of people coming to the reception, and I think there's probably a split of all of that because it just depends on the bride. Every bride has her own idea of what she wants, and it may also be what mom and dad want and can spend money on if they're paying for it. But you're going to see a mixture. That's always the case.
Yeah. With weddings, you know, I was thinking how people were paying attention. As you mentioned, the gown, a lot of people spend the money on the gown. That's the normal thing to do. So you may get a lot of brides that look like Kate Middleton. That might be what happens because I think they try to copy her gown, and many, many different people try to copy her gown. So they're calling it the Kate Middleton effect, perhaps.
I know some of them do go with the long sleeves and the lace. That has been a popular part of the gown since Princess Kate was married. And there's also more fun and more flirty, more ivory and lace and maybe frilly with the tulle. There's just a lot of, even vintage is coming out. There's just so many different types of ideas and trends that are coming out. But that is still a big thing since Princess Kate was married. Excuse me.
Yeah, yeah. When you do these bridal shows, because you've been doing them forever, have you been doing them 100 years?
No. I've been doing shows since 88.
Wow, since 88, so you've seen things really come and go. When you lay out a bridal show, because these happen across the country, is it everything A to Z? Is it now? Is it everything A to Z?
In our Dallas bridal show, it's the third largest in the United States, and it does have everything A to Z and everything in between. It's just a lot of fun. Everything there to plan the whole wedding in 2 days, and so the bride can come in and just take her time and talk to those vendors, spend some time with those that she feels like she has interest in and feels a good rapport with, and she can plan everything. If she can bring a friend who can make notes and follow with her, that makes it even more fun, and all of this will create less stress for the bride to be able to plan it in one weekend instead of taking months and months traveling around the Metroplex. It makes it so easy.
Oh, boy, one-stop shopping. I love it. Naomi Holmes,
yes.
Check it out, 28th, 29th, Dallas Market Hall. If you're in the area, even if you're not in the area, hightail it up there so you can do that one-stop shopping. Naomi, good luck with everything, and thanks, as always, for popping on the show.
Thank you so much, Kate. Have a wonderful evening.
You too.